Hi, it's Doon here, your host and hype girl. And before we dive into today's episode, I want you to take a hot second to reflect. What's that passion, unique experience, or knowledge you have itching to be shared with the world? For me, it's always been about guiding you and cheerleading incredible women to start your businesses. So what's your thing? You see, everyone's got something they excel at, something they just can't stop talking about. And it turns out that one of the best ways to monetize those passions is through sharing that thing with the world as a digital course product. My life's work has been to chat with more than 600, 7, 8, and 9-figure e-commerce founders. And it's through those conversations that have led me to creating a foolproof playbook and my go-to guide for early-stage founders in the form of my first ever digital program, E-commerce Fundamentals. But it wouldn't have been possible without Thinkific. The beauty of this platform lies in its simplicity. Cute templates and a super easy to use editor. No coding headaches, no tech-induced stress, just pure focus on what matters most, the content. So if you've ever been curious about building a course to teach your passion, this is the way to do it. The genuine support from the Thinkific team turns it from this lonely, confusing headache into the most fulfilling and easy project. Go to the link in my show notes to get a free trial on me. This is Christelle de Groot for Female Startup Club. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. It's Doon here, your host and hype girl. If you're a small business owner or an entrepreneur listening into this episode, you probably know just how hard it can be to generate revenue. It can be really bloody tough. You might have just started out and maybe you've made a few sales. You might have made a few $1,000s in sales, or maybe even a few $100,000. Hell, maybe you've even made multi-seven figures in sales at this point. Think about how hard that's been to get to that point, and now imagine scaling your business to hitting $200 million in revenue. $200 million! Imagine what that would look like from a supply chain point of view, a product development point of view, the investment point of view, the energy point of view. That's what Christelle de Groot did, all while she was in her 20s. I know, it's so wild. Today's episode is a reminder that when you stick it out for the long run, when you have a real purpose and drive to change the world, magical things can happen. Christelle built her company, Your Super, alongside her partner Michael in their early 20s after Michael battled cancer. They built it to $200 million in revenue and then sold it to The Healing Company in 2022 for an undisclosed amount. This story starts with very humble beginnings and it ends with so many brilliant learnings. I hope you love it just as much as I do. And before we jump into today's episode, I want to quickly mention the girl code that we introduced in a few recent episodes. The general gist is that it's a very loose and very casual deal where if you love Female Startup Club and what we're doing over here, you take a tiny action every time you listen to one of our episodes. Whether that's by leaving us a review on a podcast app or sharing this episode on social media with your friends, basically anything that helps us reach more ears and keep growing. It's a weird time right now in the world, and I am desperately in need of my hype girls. To everyone who already does this on a daily basis, thank you so much. I appreciate you more than you know. Let's get into today's episode. This is Christelle for Female Startup Club.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Christelle, hi, welcome to the Female Startup Club podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. I'm so bloody excited. I feel like it's pretty rare we get to interview women who have gone through the entire journey, start to finish, wildly successful exit type moment. So I'm excited to hear your journey, especially, you know, the ups and the downs. Where do you like to start your entrepreneurial story?
I actually feel like in my teenage years, it already started. So I always joke that I was this weird teenager sitting at the dining table with my parents every night and just be like, you know, why does this not exist? Why does this not exist? And every week I had other business ideas, several. And I sometimes think like, what must they have been thinking? Like, what is wrong with this girl? Like, why is she only talking about all the businesses she wants to start? And I had all the ideas. And
do you remember any of those ideas?
One was really random. Like, I wanted to personalize my own calendar, right? You know how you for school always bought your own calendar. And I was like, I just want to personalize it. I want to have my own pictures in it and this and this. And I don't want to just get a random one from the store.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense. I love that.
Yeah. So those kind of things. And, I think that's already where it started. And then I actually played a lot of tennis and I had a string machine. So I started, you know, stringing records for other people. So I was always like doing little things to make money. And, then there's this, and I actually never talked about this, but in Holland, you have something called King's Day. And, that is a day where everyone goes on the street and kind of just sells their stuff. And drinks a lot and parties and all those things and wears only orange clothes.
It's orange, right? Yeah.
Great day to go if you ever want to see it. It's quite a thing. But when I was young, what you used to do is, you know, you get all your stuff and you would sell it. And I also, what I would do, I would bake pancakes. So I would like get the eggs, I would get the flour and kind of, you know, figure out what were my costs and then try to sell as many pancakes as I could. So just like those kind of moments, I think in my upbringing that really like, I don't know, this kind of sparked that idea of like, I like to sell something.
Did you get that from your parents or was it just intrinsically inside of you?
I don't know. So my dad does have his own business. He has a pharmacy and he got that from his, you know, from his parents. My mom didn't necessarily have her own business. My grandma, I learned, did have her own business. So I'm like, you know, she had a store back in the days, which is pretty cool. I'm like,
oh, very
that's
cool.
Really cool, grandma.
Yeah, she's a baller.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe just seeing it around me, yes, a little bit. But then at the same time, I think it's something that also was just in me.
I love that. So how do we transition from you selling your pancakes at King's Day and selling whatever you could sell and your startup ideas to creating your super?
So I studied in the US, I'm Dutch, studied in the US, then I did my master's in London. And then during that time, my boyfriend, who I met actually in college in the US, he's German, he got cancer. And that was just such an aha moment, I think, for both of us. You know, I was 22, he was 24, he just finished college. And it was just like, you know, you're like, okay, I thought I was on top of the world, and then you're not. And I watched the movie Forks Over Knives. I turned plant-based the next day. I was always already kind of this health nut because I had eczema growing up. So like I knew from a young age, okay, I either get a rash when I eat this or I don't get a rash when I eat this. So the connection between health and my body was something I was like, okay, I get that it's there, you know, that it's there. So yeah, turned plant-based. For him, it was really after. So he had surgery, he went through chemo. And it's interesting, right? Because you go for chemo, you're cancer free then. But he was not healthy. And that was such an interesting turning point for him because then he was suddenly open. And I was like, okay, we're going to do a detox. I'm going to give you all the juices. I'm going to give you this and this. And I was a crazy superfood lady. I had this cabinet full, and you know, I know there are more people like me out there where I had 30 different bags, and every morning I was scooping like a maniac. I was like, barley grass, wheatgrass, chia seeds, maca, this. And you know, it was fine for me. It was like, I mean, it was a lot of scooping, and I kind of just dragged him to Whole Foods and I was like, okay, you need wheatgrass, you need spirulina, you need this. And he was like, okay, wait a second. What are all these names? This is really expensive. And no, thank you. So what I did instead, I had this empty jar and just kind of scooped all, you know, a bunch of green things, especially for him, together. And I said, whatever you do, just take this every single day. And he just like, after the detox and using the superfoods, right? He was very skeptical because he was this meat eating German. He really started to feel better. And he was like, oh, this is very interesting. Like, I feel so much better. And from there, you know, like it's, he started to research. Then you actually look into superfoods, right? Because people are always like, oh, it's such a trend. Is it going to stay? And it's just like nothing. It's nothing new, right?
Yeah, these are ancient practices.
Exactly. If you look at Ayurveda, if you look at Eastern medicine, if you look in, you know, South America, these ingredients have been used for thousands and thousands of years. So I also always say with your super, it's not that we do anything new. We just look at, you know, like some of those traditions and like how these ingredients have been used and how we can kind of just resurface them and make it a little bit easier for people, you know, to use them. So, but basically at that point, we realized, okay, there are a lot more Michaels in the world, right? I talk to friends and they're like, yeah, I'm very interested in, you know, the using SAE, but what is it actually? How do I use it? And from there, we kind of just started. And how we started is that we had a small little place close to Amsterdam. We had a certified organic room in that little apartment, which we somehow created. And it got actually certified, which was really funny, just in our own apartment. And we started ordering superfoods initially from a wholesaler, because we ordered like 5 kilogram bags and mixed everything by hand together. And that was really how your super was born, right? Really, the goal and our mission has always been, how do we help people improve their health with the power of plants? And superfoods are just a very easy and convenient way to do it. And basically, we develop these mixes with 5-6 ingredients, and that's it. No stevia, no fillers, nothing else added. Just, you know, very simple plant-based organic ingredients that are really powerful and pack a punch. And we then develop these different benefits, right? So we have Forever Beautiful for, you know, for your skin. We have a Super Green with your greens, but then also other ones now with really popular one is Moon Balance for hormone balance, right? So really looking at like, what is the benefits you need and what are some of the ingredients that can support with that?
I love that. I love that so much. In that early time, when you have to think back to kind of like the money piece of the puzzle, you know, were you thinking about savings? Did you take a loan, a credit card, friends and family? Like, how did you get started and how much did you invest to get to that kind of launch point of selling these products?
Yeah, so Michael still had a job. So we sometimes joke, his only job he had, which was 1 year at Accenture. So we sometimes joke Accenture was the first kind of investor.
The investor.
I never actually had a proper job, which is also funny. And we were just talking about it during breakfast. It's like, it's almost good to be naive. I think it's a superpower. because I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to manage people. I didn't know anything really about margins. I just didn't know anything. And I think there's a beauty to that as well. Because if I now, you know, go back 10 years and I'm like, I know everything I know now, would I started the business again? I'm like, I don't know. Right. So it's so interesting. But the money piece, I think we had a couple of things going for us. I think we were very young. I was 23. I was not used to the income. I lived a very, you know, simple, basic life in that sense.
Yeah, you can be frugal at that time.
Right? I didn't have kids. I didn't have a mortgage. So I think that helps, right? I didn't have that pressure of like, oh, I need to make money right away because I have all these expenses. So I think that was one advantage, just starting that young. And then I think the other piece of it, what I did do over at some point was, so at first it was kind of Michael's salary. I lent a little bit of money from my parents. I think it was around, 30,000 and something else we paid back afterwards. And that's kind of how we started the first year. And basically what we did, we would buy very small amounts of superfoods, would mix them by hand together and then go to farmers markets in the weekend. And we did that for a year where we just like mixed, you know, during the week. And then even we went to Holland and in Germany as well, we went to different, you know, veggie markets, health markets, all kinds of different markets. And just started to selling the products. And it was very interesting because you learned so much by doing this because we started to talk to potential customers, right? And then the questions they were asking. And it was very interesting because people were asking us, not even like, what are superfoods? They were just like, oh, what is a smoothie? How do you make a smoothie? And I was like, oh, we have a long road ahead of us. This is going to be quite a ride.
There's an education piece here that I need to focus on.
Yeah. So that was like something we learned right away. Then obviously about taste you learn. And it's just like you learn so much by hearing what they're asking. And we started selling online right away as well. Like we had a little Shopify shop 10 years ago that we built up. And we, you know, we used to ship right away, worldwide, which was really funny.
Oh, wow.
And we're shipping worldwide. And it's funny because in the end, it really helped us. So basically what we did is that we saw, that quite some orders over time were coming from the US, like 5 to 10%. And that then really actually helped us to make the decision to then say, okay, hey, we're also going to shift to the US. It was a very small amount, right? Like the total orders were not a lot. But it always gave us a sense of like, hey, where is the product resonating? Hey, we have some customers to call up. So I think that really, you know, again, very naive. And did we make any money on those orders? Absolutely not. But it was
maybe
fun.
Maybe a loss.
Probably.
If you have to think about those kind of early years, that handful of years, you know, getting to your first 1,000 customers, getting to kind of proven concept, you know, the ball is rolling. What are the key things that shifted the needle for you? Or what are those key pivotal moments where you were like, holy shit, we're onto something really good here?
I think, so one of the earliest things, because it always comes down kind of to marketing, right? So from the farmers markets, we then did our first, we did raise a little bit of money then for friends and family. And it was really funny. I think we raised 100,000 and we thought we're set. We never have to raise money again. This is it. We did one production run. And we started, by the way, we started with 7 products, 7 SKUs, which is crazy. And anyone starting a business, I would highly recommend not starting with 7 SKUs. Start with 1, start with 3, maybe, but like, that's it. Because the more SKUs, the more you need to produce. And then, you know, the more you need different products, you need to actually, ingredients you need to buy.
Packaging.
Packaging. It just makes everything so much more expensive and complicated. And again, we just didn't know, right? So, you know, we need 7 products. And, from there we raised a little bit of money and then we really focused on those early days of Instagram. We just, you know, did barter deals. So we would just send products to like Instagrammers. And that's also actually then how it, I think, spread to the US.
The golden days of Instagram.
The golden days. But I have to say, it's funny. We just, brought out a book. Right. And I kind of just went back to, thank you. You're super live if anyone wants to check it out. But I kind of just went back to the grassroots where I was like, okay, I just want to send this book to as many people as possible. Right. And I know maybe not everyone posts about it, but like, I still think I can get like, you know, let's see to how many people I can send it without having to pay huge amounts of money. And funny enough, there's still a lot of people out there with big followings who, if they're truly interested in the book or in a product, they're still gonna, you know, take your free product and post about it. but it's tedious work, right? You have to write a lot of people, and a certain percentage is only going to write back, and then only a certain percentage is going to give you their address. So it's, you know, it just takes a lot of work to just write hundreds and hundreds of people and then follow up after you send the book. So I think those are the pieces where it's still possible, right? And like, what is your messaging? Like, what are you writing then? Is it like super impersonal, or is it like a very personal message and they have the feeling like an actual person versus an agency is writing them? I think those things all make a huge difference.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The human touch, relationships, like it's going to be much more impactful to take that personal touch with someone and connect with someone on a genuine level.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So you said you raised the 100,000 friends and family. You got a bigger kind of product order. You were doing their influencer marketing. What was your vision at that point? Because you're still kind of in your mid-20s, early 20s. Could you have envisioned where you got to?
No, I think my vision was actually to lay on the beach. I don't know why. It's like I start this business and a year later I'm traveling and I'm laying on the beach. I'm just like, something, I'm like, what was I thinking? You know, they say that you work more when you start your own business. It's like, by the way, it's true, right? You work more hours, you work harder. Obviously you get to decide. And it's your own choice. So I still think it feels different, but you know, like I think from, especially when we hired even interns, right, that hired our first employees, I think there was a sense of responsibility that I never felt at that age before, or I was like, I am responsible for their salary, right? And their, you know, their living. And I think that those kind of things like make you grow up really quickly. I was like, okay, I'm responsible for this. And I think from there, it really, I mean, we made so many mistakes, but so many funny things too, right? A hilarious story is when we were mixing at our house, we used to order this canister. So we still use the same canister, which is now, you know, another recycled paper label around it. They back then they just used to look like toilet rolls, basically. We put a sticker on it. But we, you know, they would come to our house, a tiny little street somewhere in Amsterdam, with a huge truck, and they're like, "Where's the loading dock?" I'm like, no loading dock.
It's here, and it's with me.
This is the door. And this is where the pallet needs to go through, which obviously
is. And this is the worker.
So it's those kind of things that just completely went wrong. You know, we raised money, we ran out of money very quick. And it's often not even that you're, I think in the early days, it's not even that we were unprofitable, right? It's just cash, right? Like you buy inventory. And I think those kind of things, like really managing your cash, I think is something not necessarily easy. And I think it is going to go really, really quick. And I think we always had this really, I think the one thing we kind of were then at that point where we're like, also before you start to raise money. And I think that's for everyone something, you know, really to think about, because I don't think you need to raise money, right? And it's just, it's a choice. Like, what type of business do you want to build? I think the moment you make the decision to raise money, right? A, you're not only working for yourself anymore. I think that's something really important to realize. And two, there just come, it comes with certain expectations, right? People invest the money and they want actually to see a return. And they often want to see faster growth. So there's so many of those pieces. And I remember that Michael and me were kind of sitting together and we're like, okay, like, what do we want? Do we want a smaller business, be 100% in control and like grow slower? Or do we want to actually have a bigger business and actually have to up? And this is really what for us was the decision of like, hey, we want to go this route. We just had in our mind, we're like, we want to just reach as many people as possible. We want our impact to be as big as possible because we want to help as many people as possible to be healthy. So we're like, okay, let's just go all in. And that was really at that time what felt right for us. But again, it's not the only way to build a business. And I don't think it's necessarily the right way. I think for everyone, it's different. And I think there's also a beauty now having gone through this, right? I think there's also a beauty in moving a little bit slower and finding more your traction in a more, you know, organic way. So just something to think about and to know that there, you know, it's really a choice to make for yourself and to figure out, okay, like, what is it that I want?
Yeah, it really requires a personal audit. An audit of yourself, your life, your strengths, your weaknesses, everything really. At what point was this in the timeline? Like, what year are we talking when you're kind of like, let's go for it?
So we started, that was 2015, what was it? 2014 we started. 2015 we raised friends and family. And then in, I think it was 2016 when we raised money from 500 startups. So I want to say like that was really, in the moment you start taking like more VC money in and then it's just different. And that changed things, yeah.
For the good or, like, sorry, the good only or also some of the worst?
I think it's both. I think one of the cool things we did with 500 startups, and I think that really helped me along my journey, is that they, and that's always, it's always easier said than done, right? But what other things can VCs give you than just money? So basically with them, we had a month where they called it a dojo, where we had basically a month-long e-com training. So we learned about all your KPIs. I learned about how to run my own Facebook ads, Google ads, SEO, like literally everything. And, you know, email marketing. And also just even just someone explaining you what are the metrics to be looking at, like how, what should you optimize? If you optimize a landing page, what is kind of the percentage of, you know, traffic you're looking for? So it was a lot of those kind of things. And I think it was a lot, right? And after that month, I was just kind of like, okay, this was a lot of wheels spinning in my head. But it's interesting because like about 9 months after that, that is kind of where we, you know, started to crack then Facebook and how we could actually run that. And really simple things, right? Like our AUV was always too low, right? So therefore it was very hard, you know, with our CAC of, you know, an acquiring customer and a low AOV to just like even just break even. And actually our goal is always on the first order, can we break even? Because, right, then at least we don't lose money. And from there we can actually then scale instead of just acquiring and only relying on future customers. Somehow that just never really made a lot of sense in our head. So what we learned then is that we started to bundle more of our products, create programs around it, you know, created, for example, the detox bundle, and really started to advertise more of that. And, you know, within the funnel, really focus on that bundle. And suddenly our AOV went from $50 to like, you know, $100, $120. It's like, oh, this is kind of an unlock.
This works.
This works. And I think another piece that we really learned, so we went to the US beginning 2018. I'll come back to that. But I want to say one other thing we really learned is that we really started to talk about our personal story. So before 2018, we never talked about Michael's cancer story. We never talked about our personal journey. We're just focused on product, 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 because we're like, we love our products. They're the best. Let me tell you all about the benefits, right? But we never talked about our own story. And somehow we came across several people and someone helped, kind of interviewed us and helped us to shape our story and just put it in clear words instead of, you know, just all over. And, you know, we started to, actually, we had this one interview on Cheddar TV and I started to run that as an ad and it just kind of just, it worked so good. I was like, oh,
it's powerful.
I was like, I need to talk about her story. Like, I get it.
Another
now.
Unlock.
Yeah. Major unlock. And yeah, what I want to say about, so we, in 2017, we were only in Europe still basically, and we were really struggling. We, as a business in Europe, I think we were extremely early on the market. Again, like I said, people didn't even have blenders at home, didn't know how to make smoothies. And there were we trying to sell superfoods. And we actually met, someone else at a fair. Actually one of the founders from Four Sigmatic, funny enough. And they're like, yeah, you know, we were way too, you know, no one wanted to buy mushrooms in Europe. So we just went to the US. And that was like kind of this moment for us. We're like, wait a second. You're from Europe and you went to the US. They're like, if you can do this, like we can do this too. And if you think about it, there are not a lot of European businesses that go from Europe to the US, right? It's very often the other way around. We're also not that we were so successful in Europe, right? So because even the, you know, our early investors were like, you're not going to go to the US. Like you first need to be a proper business and bigger in Europe before you're allowed to go there. And we were just kind of like, well, they did it. And we're like, it feels right. We both studied there. We're just going to figure it out. We're going to raise money in the US. It was funny. Every time we tried to raise money in Europe, we talked to investors there and it's very different environment. They only were talking about risks. And I think we were at the time trying to raise like 500K. And they were like, why do you need this money for? And then in the US, we started to raise 217 also in the US at the same time. And it was so interesting because if we would say we raised 500K, nobody wanted to talk to us. We needed to raise a minimum a million. So we started to raise there $1.5 billion because otherwise nobody wanted to talk to us. And they only wanted to talk about all the opportunities and how big the market is and, you know, all the upside. And I was just like, isn't this so fascinating how different the mindset is, you know, between those two places.
Wow.
So yeah, a lot of things that happened and we kind of went then, we were raising money in the US. We were still living in Berlin at the time. And it was funny because we would say we also would live in LA and work at the co-working space. But we would just be flying back and forth.
Back and forth.
We did have, to be fair, our fulfillment was set up in the US, but we didn't live there. We, you know, we just kept flying back and forth, but nobody
I'll be there for
to...
a meeting tomorrow. 100%.
Yeah, no, that's literally what happened. Like, oh, are you wanna, you know, we're in LA. We would love to, we did a couple pitch competitions. So we started to build up a little bit of network, meet some people. They're like, oh, we want to meet with you. In LA, because that's where you are. And we're like, yeah, okay, we'll see you next week. Yeah, in your office. I'm like, no, the co-working space is a little loud. We had a cafe. So a lot of funny stories. But right, it's interesting because U.S. investors don't want to invest, at least at that time, right? If we would not be based in the U.S., they didn't want to invest in us. So like, I think to, and obviously we did move to the U.S., right? Once we knew, okay, we're going to raise this round, we moved actually to the U.S. to really be there and build a business. But it was a really funny experience. And yeah, we're like, you know, you just sometimes you have to be a little smart with like, we're like, okay, we know we're going to live here, but you know, we're not there yet.
You've got to take the calculated jump.
Yeah.
I read that at some point you reached the 200 million revenue mark, and that's what prompted you to start looking for an acquisition or an exit. And I want to kind of shift gears a little bit to talk about what happened next. Like, when was that? When did you start being like, right, we've hit this number. What does that look like now? Why now do we sell? And yeah, just what that time was like for you.
Yeah. So it was 200 cumulative. So we basically, we got to like, I just want to clarify that for anyone listening. We got to around 60, 70 million a year revenue. And it was actually a really interesting time. I think at some point, I got tired because the business scaled really, really fast. And that's kind of what I said in the beginning, right? There are advantages and disadvantages. And obviously there's this beauty where, you know, we were able to scale so fast with Facebook ads, so fast. But that's just the selling part. Everything else, right, from our team scaled from, you know, we were 15 people, at some point we were 100 people. And this is all in a time span of like 2-3 years. You need to learn how to manage. I had a team of 50 people under me. So, you know, wow. So many things suddenly you need to, we were producing, products in Europe as well as in the US. And it's funny, as the US started to scale, it's almost like Europe slowly, a year later, started to catch up and they suddenly knew what superfood, well, what smoothies were, and that they wanted superfoods. Right.
So both. I have a blender now.
I have a blender now. And it's interesting because obviously we had teams in Berlin. We had teams in LA. How do you build the org structure? I think there were so many things that we kind of had to figure out. It's such a short period of time that we're just sprinting. And I'm forever grateful for all the lessons learned because there were a lot of them.
Like what?
So many. I learned, by the way, that I don't want to manage a team of 50 people because it's not for me. So
again, back with the self audit, what you thrive in doing and what you don't thrive in doing.
Yeah, I really learned about myself that I love being creative, right? So I actually like writing the copy. I like working on in the team, working on the ads and like really be in the creative part, you know, doing the formulations of products and thinking about the branding. Like that's me, but that's not your job when you're, you know, a CMO of a team of 50 people. Because my job was, you know, to set the vision, the goals, and to empower the team to do all those things. And I was just like, I want to do them myself.
Let me get in there and do it.
So this is just like one thing. I think so many more. I think it's, you learn a lot about yourself. And I think that piece is really, really important, but how do you know if you don't do it all, right? So I'm also a huge fan of sometimes it's okay to just like kind of just do it all and feel what, you know, what feels right. And I had kind of it's a beauty that I got to learn of like, oh, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. And I didn't know before. So it was good. But yeah, a lot had happened. We scaled very quickly, right? When we went to the US, we only did like 500K in sales. Then we kind of went to like I think it was 5 million to 30 million, 70, right? So it went super fast.
Whoa. Crazy.
And yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. It's funny. And when you're in it, it felt kind of normal. But now looking back, I'm like, that was crazy. And I think I don't want anyone to listen to this and compare yourself to it. I think it's really, I would even recommend to go slower, right? Because I think we made more mistakes in the end because it was going so fast as well. And I think, like I said, like I was getting tired, right? Because like that speed of growth and like I was working so much. And it's funny, right? I'm running a health and wellness business. And I was like, I had a hard time taking care of myself at the same time. And it was not that I was super unhealthy, but I was just working too much. So yeah, a lot of lessons there. And I think that's kind of where Michael, we were like, hey, is this the right time to sell? I think the other piece of it, you know, investors will start to demand it too. We had a hard time also with the iOS. So like what, you know, with the iOS changes, we saw that like, we're like, oh, we cannot keep scaling like this. We did launch then in retail, right? So we actually only were a DTC business. only 5% Amazon, 95% our own website, and then started to focus more on Amazon, went into retail as well. But then it was also where like investors were like, hey, it's time, right? Because you can scale as fast. And I think that's kind of where the piece comes in from. You have to, you know, it is a choice and you're not 100% in control anymore. And I think that's a decision you have to make. It's like, hey, what, you know, and if you start getting VC money in, the expectation is that you sell at some point too. So it is different in that sense versus like building something you're going to hold on. You want to hold on to the rest of your life.
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. I guess it's hard to know at the beginning of the journey, but then in hindsight, you're able to look back and have so many learnings, obviously. How long did the process take when you were like, okay, maybe we should sell this? The investors are also wanting to sell, to actually kind of like contract is done, things have been transferred.
Years.
It's all over. Yeah.
Years. At least like, I would say like 1.5 years. It's a long process. And I was pregnant at that time too.
Oh, wow. Superwoman.
So I wasn't actually, but Michael was really good. So I really, at that point, actually, I did keep working, but I started to slow down because I really felt that being pregnant is great, but you also are more tired already. And I didn't want to be one of those. And I, you know, everyone makes their own choice. I just was this decision for myself where I was like, I don't want to, you know, be the person who is in a call while I'm in labor. Like, I'm not that person. It's like, if I do something, I'm truly doing it, right? So I was like, if I'm pregnant, I'm pregnant. So I actually let really go more there, whether that was, you know, within the marketing, but also like with, you know, really trusting Michael to like actually lead more in that process. And we didn't talk so much today about it, but like we were very good actually also in splitting tasks. I was very much in like more marketing, product development side. And marketing really means, I mean, we were D2C, right? So I was selling. And Michael was actually then supply chain, finance, HR, but also all investor relationships. And it's interesting because I think, as we know, women raising money is so much harder. And I've experienced it too, right? Where we were both sitting in the room, we would have a conversation and people would literally like only look at him, talk to him. I would say something, they would repeat the question to him. And like, this is crazy, right? And you just kind of feel it sometimes where they're like, oh yeah, she's just a creative person, but he's actually the business guy. So we're going to talk to him. It's horrible. I just saw how much easier it was for him. And I'm always a huge fan of this, like, let's use our strength where they are. So yes, I talked to every investor that ever invested, you know, first, kind of as a gut check. And I think, by the way, that is our superpower as women. Our intuition is so powerful. And I think we just kind of got taught not to listen to it, right? Because we need to be rational and we just kind of need to use our right brain and be logical. And I'm a huge fan of really learning and trusting your intuition because it's powerful, whether it's with hiring, whether it's with investors. If something feels off, and, you know, I've made those calls where I'm like, yeah, but then I start to rationalize in my head, but this is a great person on paper and this, and they're going to be great. But something feels off, right? And I ignore it. Never worked out. So listen to your intuition.
And it's always the case. And in hindsight, you're like, damn it, I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew it. But I was hoping. It was too much in that hope, like it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so interesting, right? Because your mind just starts to take over and make up all the stories why it's going to be great and all those things. And I learned one thing, and I sometimes feel like it's not really talked a lot about, but it's like your intuition is such a powerful tool in business as it is in life, right? And I think it's just like really use it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Totally agree. I'm wondering what life is like for you now. Are you guys totally out of the business? You've had some time to decompress, deprocess what's happened over the last almost decade?
Well, I'm a lot of time mom, actually. So I don't know if I really relaxed, but
you went from this to that.
No, I'm really enjoying that process, actually. And it's Yeah, I mean, I have a little one. He's like 8 months old now. And I think that's a whole new learning in itself. I'm the more the obsessive type, I think. So like even when I was pregnant, I read, I think, 15 books. I know about everything there is to know about natural birth, about the pregnancy process, postpartum. I know everything about plant-based baby food now. So it's really fun, actually, to just like dive into new topics again and really doing that. We're still in the business. So we're still, I'm not full time. So I'm helping like basically on face of the brand and like helping really with where I can. And actually my favorite part is just connecting to your customers. Because that's always has been my favorite part. One of the things actually we did in the past, I used to do calls with customers and just video calls, random, just to like talk to them and understand what they need, who they are, how they live their lives. And I think that is the piece that really helped me truly understand them, right? Because in e-com, it's so easy to just kind of, you think you know your customer, or it's like, do you really know them? So we had this Facebook group and I did a lot of, you know, just Zoom calls, and I would even record them to hear their story so I could share it also with the team. And some of those pieces we even used in ads when I got permission, right? So it went from not just sharing our story, but also sharing stories from customers. And yes, there were not 3D videos, but they were real, right? And I think there's a beauty to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, back to the storytelling and your story as well. It's so powerful to hear from real people experiences that you can relate to, really. With everything that you've learned in the last almost decade, what is your kind of key learning, takeaway, piece of advice, piece of wisdom that you can pass on to other early stage founders or women who want to start a business who are listening in to this episode?
I think, A, just do it, right? I was actually talking to my sister yesterday and she's thinking about, you know, maybe starting something. And I saw the hesitation of just like, because you have to try, really trust yourself. You have to really have that kind of just like, you're betting on yourself, right? And I just want to, you know, like trust yourself. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to know step 100 if you're not at step one yet, right? Just take it one step at a time and just know by not knowing, it's actually your superpower, right? It's a good thing that you don't know yet. Just start and you're just going to figure it out. We never had a business plan, by the way. We just kind of started and just, you know, figured it out along the way. You make mistakes, you make a decision, and then you make another decision to, you know, course correct. And just trust yourself. Just do it and have fun with it. I think that's my one thing that I could have told, I wish I could have told myself 10 years ago, is that I think sometimes I took it too serious and just like go, go, go. And it's really the journey that is actually, I look back at some of those moments, I'm like, oh, this was so much fun. But I think I was the moment that was highlight, I was already like with the next step, right? But like have those celebrations and really enjoy the ride as well.
Mm, yeah, I love that. Cherish the day-to-day.
Yeah, there were a lot of tips in one. Sorry.
I mean, I'm here for it. I loved it all. I'm like, give me more.
Hey, it's June here. Thanks for listening to this amazing episode of the Female Startup Club podcast. If you're a fan of the show and want even more of the good stuff, I'd recommend checking out femalestartupclub.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter. We send it out weekly, covering female founder business news, insights and learnings in D2C, and interesting business resources. And if you're a founder building an e-commerce brand, you can join our private network of entrepreneurs called Hype Club at femalestartupclub.com/hypeclub. We have guests from the show joining us for intimate Ask Me Anythings, expert workshops, and a group of totally amazing, like-minded women building the future of D2C brands. As always, please do subscribe, rate and review the show, and post your favorite episodes to Instagram stories. I am beyond grateful when you do that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's June here. Thanks for listening to this amazing episode of the Female Startup Club podcast. If you're a fan of the show and want even more of the good stuff, I'd recommend checking out femalestartupclub.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter. We send it out weekly, covering female founder business news, insights and learnings in D2C, and interesting business resources. And if you're a founder building an e-commerce brand, you can join our private network of entrepreneurs called Hype Club at femalestartupclub.com/Hype Club. We have guests from the show joining us for intimate Ask Me Anythings, expert workshops, and a group of totally amazing, like-minded women building the future of D2C brands. As always, please do subscribe, rate and review the show, and post your favorite episodes to Instagram stories. I am beyond grateful when you do that.